We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. So a new policy, finally, requires on-field players and the personnel to stand for the anthem. I feel like I need to play the anthem right this very moment so we can all stand and salute, and how's that?
I wish there were a camera in here. I'd be up on my knees, off my knees in 1 second.
Exactly, buddy. Well, because we're patriots, Stephen. We're patriots, buddy. You know, that's the difference.
Right.
That's exactly why. I mean, come on. You know, it's not that hard. I mean, you know, I mean, we appreciate this gift. We appreciate this country. We appreciate everything we got. But let me tell everybody what's going on with this. This was, you know, I got to tell you all. First of all, this is a long time coming. This should have happened early on. They would have cut off a... And here's the thing. I mean, they're losing money like a sieve over there. I mean, their whole paradise has kind of been crumbling. Even though they've been trying to put on a brave face, they've taken a big hit. And why have they taken a big hit? Because, I mean, conservatives have abandoned the NFL in droves. I mean, they said no way. So here's what's happened. So the owners have, and get a load of this now, unanimously, so this means like everybody, you know what unanimously means, right, people, right? It means like everybody, right?
I'm with it.
That's everybody, Dr. Stanley, it's everybody. So they approved a new national anthem policy that requires players to stand if they are on the field during the performance. And listen, here's the out, which I can deal with this. It gives them the option to remain in the locker room if they prefer. In other words, you want to get nasty, you want to be disrespectful, you want to do this stuff, you're not coming on the field. And this is freedom of speech, freedom of, you know, expression, freedom to be a jackass, freedom to do whatever you want. I get that. Mm-hmm. I get that. And I'm okay with that. Just do it on your dime, not my dime.
Absolutely.
I don't want to see you do that.
Model this behavior for young Americans.
Well, that's the truth. You know, the kids, the elementary kids have been doing it now, Stephen. You know that. I mean, the schools, the elementary schools, mm-hmm. they're being disrespected. Guess where they learned it from, right? This policy subjects teams to a fine if a player or any team personnel whatsoever if they do not show respect for the anthem. And this includes attempts to sit or kneel. Now, sit or kneel, guys, both. This is kind of cool. And this has been an epidemic over the last couple of seasons. I don't know why the NFL let it go this long, because, you know, they've lost a lot of Patriots who will never come back to the game. I've been seeing social media. Ava, you've been seeing it light up, I'm sure, over the course of the day. And you can see a lot of people are saying they're not going back, right?
No, yes. I always wonder, I mean, who does their demographic? I mean, I can tell you that the great majority of people who watch football are rather old-fashioned conservative folks in their general cultural understandings. They're not getting a whole lot of folks who would be part of the the victim school. They're just not watching football. I mean, haven't they figured that out?
I know. That's well said, Stephen. That's well said. I don't know, Ava. What do you think took them so long?
Oh, I think it's a great fear of the grievance crowd. You know, they have to pander to the social justice warriors, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
It's all about that.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And again, I just think if they actually just ran some numbers, they would understand that the intersectionality people don't watch football. It's right. More people tend to be more patriotic who tend to watch football.
No, that is so right. True. So true. And I just see it right here. I mean, I see it. And, you know, I've seen a lot of empty stadiums, a lot of people clearing out. I know a lot of people in my world who've given up on it, who would not go anymore. I don't know how many will go back. I really do not know people. How many people will go back? I'm not sure. I mean, you know, you're listening out there. Would you go back if you've abandoned them? Would you go back? I mean, it's kind of, you know, to a lot of people, it's a little late and it's like really disrespectful. Anyways, we'll come back to this story because I got some comments from Roger Goodell, who's I don't have a lot of respect for him, the NFL commissioner. Now, they gave him a big raise and gave him a big contract. Boy, I thought that was a slap in the face, too, guys, you know, this past year, you know, just a bit ago here. And not a big fan of Roger, but we'll talk about him a little bit after here. He's on record with some interesting quotes and things. Well, also, the other thing today is the president is on Long Island, and Long Island has sort of become central to the fight with this MS-13 business, these gangs
Absolutely.
That are violent. And there's, I guess what I'm understanding, and this is something I definitely want to talk to you, Dr. Steinlight, about, and Ava today, and you know, from what I understand, there's about 10,000 of these cats in the country at this moment. Of course, that could change the way they're coming through the border here. And out of that 10,000, I understand a couple of thousand are on Long Island. That's like, again, ground zero to this problem.
Yeah, Suffolk County has had the highest, not for several years now, the highest number of illegals from Central America.
Why is that? Do you know why that is, Stephen?
It just beats the heck out of me.
Okay.
I mean, people,
okay.
when I say it, it means people sort of do triple takes. But, you know, I think that what happens is, you know, a number of folks get in and they establish pathways, and it's almost arbitrary.
Right.
You know, they start out and they live in an area and they show other people how to move in and how to do it, and so that becomes the spot.
Pretty
but it
sick.
Is. And there's been some terrible stuff going on in high school.
Oh, my golly. Oh, my God.
Horrendous murders and rapes.
Oh, Stephen, it's beyond comprehension for civilized people like us, Ava.
I think it's location, location, location.
In what way, Ava? Just
well, drug dealing. I mean, you're very close to New York City.
I see.
And, you know, it's location. You know, you can strike out from there and do a lot of damage.
Well, I got to tell you, I definitely want to jump into the story with you both a little bit after here. And this is a story that needs to be of interest to all of us. You remember at the State of the Union just recently, friends, that the president had a couple of parents there. And I got to tell you, my heart went out to those parents. I could feel their pain just looking at them. I was horrified. I was embarrassed as well. I'm truthful with you. I was embarrassed. Embarrassed as an American. You know, that we allow this to go on, that we allow these gangs to come into this country and rape and murder and mayhem our kids. You know, I find that.
And Malcolm, and of course, I mean, can you just imagine the sanctimoniousness of these liberal commentators who are saying, oh, they're, you know, his comment that they're animals. In fact, that's disrespect. Animals.
Animals
don't
so
kill
right.
for pleasure. I mean, it really is disrespect for
it
animals.
It is disrespect.
These are vicious. I mean, wouldn't you say that about members of Hitler's SS or members of ISIL? Of course we'd say it. And these people are just the same.
You know, Stephen, I actually apologized to my dog the other day because of this comment. You know that.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I love animals. I'm a dog lover. You know.
Yeah. Ava, that's the deal, man. So
exactly.
Apologize to poor little Zachary. I said, no, you're not in that group. Don't worry about it, pal. But anyways, we'll talk about this MS-13 business. The president is in Long Island addressing this information. And what you got to love about the president, friends, I talked about this the other day. So the left gets in just outraged about this animal, like really like I you can't even fathom what they pick the weirdest fights these days. And they want to fight with them and have a media spectacle about animals. That these people in Pelosi, you know, they're, what do you mean? They're dignified. They're dignified. What the hell are you talking about?
They're like a dog with a bone.
Oh, it's terrible. And all this comes out, and I have to tell you that, so the president, they send a letter out, a memo, I'm sure you've both seen it, from the White House, and they triple down, quadruple down, but they kept referring to animals in the letter, and I just chuckled out loud, laughing. I thought, well, isn't that this president? He doesn't not only back down, he doesn't double down, he tripled down, he just puts it right in your face and said, you know what, I'm going to keep calling them animals for the rest of my life, he said, because that's what they are. Well, people. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, if your kid was murdered and brutally attacked as these kids were, you'd have a lot more descriptive friends than animals for these people. I'll tell you that much right now. You know damn well I
And the left also started out with, you know, with a lie, and that was that he had characterized all immigrants this way.
Exactly.
Even when we found out he was talking about sociopathic murderers.
Exactly.
They were still defending them.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
What do you do with these people?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really.
No. I mean, you're spot on, Stephen. You're always spot on with this stuff, man. That's why we'd love to have you here. But I mean, it's you're spot on with that. Well, I'm very curious to jump into more of the immigration conversation with you later on, Stephen. Also, because it's mm-hmm. because it's your expertise, not only with the gangs, but with some of the conversation I'm seeing now on immigration, that the Republicans are looking to really bring that up as a election year issue, which I find very fascinating. And we'll talk about that as well today on Nozzle. So the other thing I just need to mention is we're not talking about just gangs here, people. We're not talking about casual gangs. We're not talking about just some a little bit of violence here. But the connection I want to make today for you is that I want you to remember this. This problem of these gangs, I mean, this is an immigration problem totally. These cats don't, they're not, these are not citizens here. These are evil people that are coming in up from Central America. These are these gangs from El Salvador and that particular region. Anyways, I just need to, you know, a lot of times I hear people talk about gangs and I think they lose sight of the fact that this is a major immigration problem. I keep telling everybody, you know, we have a major immigration problem in this country for a whole lot of reasons, which you and I talk about all the time, Dr. Steinlight. You know, we're always talking about it. But here it is here. This problem is central to that conversation. You're talking about the safety and security of our kids. Well, you know, what's more sacred than that, you know? If you ain't worried about the economy, if you're not worried about the economy, Stephen, if you're not worried about the money, if you're not worried about the quality of life, okay, and if you're not worried about terror, at least worry about your safety and security, right?
That's what you think that would be, that position would be.
You would think.
Just so automatic. But and you know that so many of the people who come into this country or try to come into this country from Central America, they are fleeing the gang culture, and we're importing it. So,
and we're
figure.
Important. Isn't that nice? And somehow we're supposed to be this country that takes anybody that comes along just because they have a pulse. Yep. They have a
well,
pulse.
These really
so
are the
in.
Wretched refuse, I have to say.
Oh, this is the better than bad. Yeah, these are the badasses. I mean,
They sure are.
Oh, yeah, this is not a pleasant thing here. But anyways, a lot more here, friends, on Nozzle, including the fact that President Trump cannot block Twitter followers, the federal judge says. Be curious to get Ava's perspective on that, being somebody that holds court on Twitter. Be curious to see what you think about that, Ava. Anyways, a whole lot more, friends, on Nozzle. Let's do some introductions here at the top of Nozzle here. Dr. Stephen Steinlight is here. Ava Armstrong is here. And Dr. Steinlight, let's start here. I think one of the beautiful things about having you on when we can do this is that, you know, you understand this immigration problem because you are very much associated with the Center for Immigration Studies. Tell folks a bit about your background there, please.
Yeah, I've been at CIS, Center for Immigration Studies, for 14 years now.
Wow.
It's really a fantastic organization of people who differ about all kinds of things, but when it comes to immigration, we're on the same page. And that is to say, we believe in borders, we believe in the rule of law, we believe in protecting American jobs. We're not post-Americans. We believe that the most important thing is putting American interest first. And looking at immigration not from the perspective of potential immigrants, legal or illegal, but from the perspective of American citizens and the kind of America that they want.
Well, that's well said. And can I assume that the players involved in CIS, can I assume they, I mean, I don't, I guess this is a question for you. Let's see, you know, do they come from all different sides of the political aisle, the political spectrum, or is it just...
No, we really do, and that includes our board. Our board members.
That's what I thought.
Include people who are Democrats. We have a former chair of the Black Congressional Caucus. Our board chair, Peter Nunez, was district attorney in San Diego, is Latino. We have all kinds of people, and that's of course what gives us a lot of strength. We can air stuff. And we're very close. We're a very close group. We like each other.
That always helps.
It helps enormously.
Yeah, that always helps a little bit. All right. And Ava Armstrong, Ava, please, I think people know you're a fantastic person, a brilliant mindset, an author, a goddess. Tell people about yourself, please.
Oh, gosh.
With that kind of a descriptive, right?
I don't think I'm all that. Yeah, I'm an author on Amazon, and I write thrillers and romance, suspense. I also have two children's series. I'm a political commentator and a producer on America Out Loud for Viewpoint this Sunday.
Yeah. Well, and really, Ava writes about, again, our law enforcement, our military, and she's not just an author. She's written 15 books, people. I mean, that's just not a casual, you know, program there when you're writing that kind of program. But in any event, more Nozzle in just a moment. The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. So the Senate bill finally comes out, and they finally do what they should have done from moment one, as most of us were scratching our head wondering, what are they doing? So Roger Goodell, the commissioner, comes out. He says, we want people to be respectful of the national anthem. Like, duh, where were you before? I mean, where were you people before? He says, we want people to stand. That's all, personnel. And make sure they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something we think we owe, but we were also very sensitive to give players choices. All 32 owners backed this up, this big change, and it's now become part of the operation manual. However, this may not be the end of it. The union there, the Players Association, you know, right? So they come out, and their statement was that they will take a look at it, and they will decide if this is going to be worthy of them, or if it the NFL Players Association, actually, yeah. They're going to review the entire policy and challenge any aspect that is inconsistent with the CBA. And, you know, and the last word on this, Goodell says it was unfortunate that on-field protests created a false perception among many of the thousands of NFL players that were unpatriotic. This is not and was never the case. So he's saying it was a false perception, he's calling it. Ava, you dealt with this crisis a lot, as we all did, as we were going through it. What do you take from this, with the NFL doing this now, with Roger Goodell coming out with his comments, and the Players Association? Does this put the NFL back in good graces with everybody? What happens now?
Well, I love how he tries to spin this.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, a false perception? I think not, Roger. I think we know exactly what was going on there. I mean, these people who were kneeling and being disrespectful were basically giving the American people the middle finger. That's how I felt about it. It was very personal for me. I come from a family who has a deep respect for the country, its history. I cry when I see monuments torn down, and this is part and parcel of that mindset. Roger Goodell, and I think the NFL overall, they don't have a clue. They just don't have a clue as to who their audience really is. My husband was one of the guys that turned football off, okay?
Wow.
And that's amazing for me to see him do that. But he said he just can't abide.
Will he go back with it, Ava, or will he stay away from it now?
Well, he's been extremely happy away from it.
Wow.
So he's found other productive things to do. And
paint the house, mow the grass, clean the garden.
spend time with me. I mean, we do special things on Sunday that we never did before because,
wow,
you know, I used to like to watch football.
Well, that's a good point. That's an advantage point that could be that maybe that makes marriages more solid in the country, Stephen. I don't know. But listen, this NFL, yeah, you know, maybe there's an upside to it, right?
Absolutely.
Is this the decline of the NFL, Stephen? Is this the decline? I mean, is this the beginning of the end for them for real, or do they patch this all up and make good?
No, I don't think they're ever going to get back to where they were. I mean, will they recover some ground? Sure. But, you know, I think there's something else that's underlying all of this, and I don't want to get into something that's going to, I don't know, embarrass or get touchy or whatever. I mean, a very high percentage of NFL players are as were black gladiators on the field. And we have, you know, some deep race issues in the country, and there's tremendous pressure, social pressure, on black players to show solidarity. Very often the agenda is defined by people on the left and radicals on the left in the black community. And I think there are a lot of people out there who are sort of going along because they feel like they've got to go along. And yes, there are some people who are probably undoubtedly, you know, they see America as a bad and unjust place, and this is an opportunity to make the point. But I do think there's, you know, I think the point's got to be made that, you know, I don't know what the percentage of NFL players is that's black. It's very, very high. And this is the politics of race playing out in a particularly unfortunate way.
Yeah, I think you have a valid point there. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know whether they ever recover at all or not. I really turned them off, just like your husband did, Ava. I could not, not that I had a lot of time in my life to be watching the NFL to begin with, because I did not, in all full disclosure. But occasionally I'd love to have it on in the background, because I love sports, Ava, you know? And mm-hmm. So I'd at least have it on in the background and try to catch up with the scores and stuff when I could. I mean, again, my life doesn't revolve around sports. If I was a sports announcer, it would. And I love sports. In fact, I wanted to play pro ball as a kid and did for a while. But that would have been my dream life, guys, if I had stayed with it and not started getting interested in women.
Mine too.
Yeah, that's what women will do to you, Stephen. I mess you up every time. it's true. But in any event, we'll see what happens with it. But again, I think it is a big decision, and it is worthy of talking about with the NFL and what they've done here. And listen, there's a lot of finger pointing. We could talk about a lot of different things. Obviously, they are covering themselves up in the way. But what else are they going to do, people? I mean, you know.
Oh, I think, you know what I think this is going to end up being? I think there will be players who will take a knee, and they'll get, you know, they'll get fined. And then what will happen as a result of that is they'll keep the entire team in the locker room during the
So this
national
is going to
anthem.
Blow up again then, you're saying, Ava. This is
yeah.
gonna, this
oh,
would be
definitely.
A big news story then if that happens, yeah.
I will predict
Well, all
that.
The media and the cameras are going to be watching the first few games to see who does it first. You know that. You know mm-hmm. it's going to be a watch call for that. Be watch parties who's going to take the first knee. I think there's a point to that. I think some of them may do that as well. I don't discard that at all. They'll push the envelope a little bit. And, of course, the president will come out and put a tweet out there that'll rip them all up, and then we'll have another feud going on. And then back to your point, Stephen, we'll just continue on with the race war and every other war that's going on in this country. You know, well, time well spent, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't separate anything from anything. You know, it seems as though, you know, can't we disagree about some things but agree that we love this country? I mean, it's really very simple. I mean, don't you love this country more than you want to be obsessing about this particular complaint? I mean, for me, the answer is obvious. I love this country. I think for some people, it's just not.
I mean, it's kind of hard sometimes, Ava, when Stephen says a final word like that. I mean, it's kind of hard to top that, isn't it?
No, it was perfectly said, Stephen.
I mean, you can't beat the kind of comments sometimes you come out with, Stephen. You're brilliant. But, I mean, it's right there, man. You're 100% right. And I know our listeners and our people on our platform, they absolutely love this country. I mean, and we know patriotism is alive and well today, so you can't tell me it's not, friends. Well, listen, I want to talk about this MS-13 gang business briefly anyways here. And the president is on Long Island, as I say, which is, again, a ground zero for this problem. They're in a lot of areas in the country. But these are, again, immigrants, illegal immigration problem. This is it on steroids. They've come in through the border, these gangs. They're recruiting their family members and others. And then they're recruiting other people by knife, by gunpoint, that if they don't join the group, they will kill them or do very bad things to them and their families. There's a lot of that culture going on. So they're pulling people into this massive network and gang by brutal force, if you will. So the president comes out, and you know you've all been following this animal comment. And so, and as Dr. Steinle said earlier, well, animals is too kind of a term. And I think many people felt that. Of course, the president's direct, as Aver and I always talk about. The mm-hmm. president doesn't mince his words. I mean, he doesn't look in the book that says, you know, I'm sure, listen, I'm going to say this to you. When you become president of the United States, and I have never been president, but I know this is what happens. They give you a book. It's called How to Be Presidential. You understand?
Right. Right.
So you get this little book. It's a little blue book you get. It's called How to Be Presidential. See, so Trump probably has the book, guys, but he's never opened up the cover or read it. He probably uses it as a coaster. really, though.
Excellent.
Yeah, he probably does. So the president now in Long Island, and Stephen, I definitely want to hear you come out and tell me more about MS-13, because I'm not an expert in this gang and what they've done, but the president says this today, earlier this afternoon, he says, these are not people, they are animals. Now, this was a roundtable discussion he was having to try to curb the problem. He had a lot of the parents there and others there. But Dr. Stanley, talk to us about this. I mean, the crimes that these people have done are serious, and the families that have really suffered from this are even more serious. How big of a problem is this for our country, my friend? And where do we go from here?
I mean, I think it's a big problem right now. Not so much in terms of numbers, but of course numbers grow, as you know. And you were mentioning that they can coerce people into following what they're doing. You know, for some stupid people, what they're doing seems very macho or something. This is they've created mayhem from where they've come in Honduras and El Salvador and Nicaragua. These are psychotic, sociopathic people. The MS-13, the name says, is rape, murder, kidnap. That's in their name. This is who they are. You know, these are these freaks you see tattooed all over the place. They just as soon slice your head off as have an ice cream cone. They have absolutely no moral center. These are people who have broken away from anything that we would consider, you know, normative. As I said, they're just sociopathic lunatics, and not a single one of them should be brought into this country. They should be deported immediately, although, of course, the countries that they left don't want to have them back. But, you know, then we have to pressure those countries to take them. It's insanity for this country to bring these people in. And these people came in over those, we all remember those summers in 2014, 2015, 2016, when the Central American migration began. It was called the Children's Crusade. I mean, I love that term. This was, by the way, it's almost certainly the case that this was engineered by the Obama administration, because when they arrived, the system was already geared up to deal with them. Catholic Charities had been called in. There were tents set up. There were trucks to bring them different places. And, you know, they had paid the cartels to bring them across Mexico to our border, and then the United States government, can you believe it, did the final work of the cartel, and that is brought them to live with some illegal alien from their family who's already here, so that we actually took a proactive role in bringing these sociopathic monsters into the country. And there's just, I don't want to go on and on, but there's, I may have mentioned this in a past program, the congressman from that area, Henry Crayor, who is from San Antonio, he's a Democrat. He's, by the way, one of the last kind of blue dog centrist Democrats in America. He's Hispanic. He heard about all these kids coming in, and he wanted to see them. I mean, in a kind of avuncular way. He wanted to be a kind of a nice, welcoming uncle. And so he went to where they were, and he sees all these guys, and these guys look like they're 18 to 30. They're covered with these tattoos indicating either MS-13 or cartel membership, and they're giving him the middle finger and grabbing their crotches, and he just said, boy, these weren't the children I won't see. So anyway, these are the children now we've got here. And to hear these hopelessly, Pollyannish, crazy people on the liberal left who are talking about, you know, how dare you call them animals, as though somehow defending the humanity of these monsters is represents a high moral vision. It's just nonsense. I mean, anyone can look at these people and say, these are vicious killers. Get them away right away. If they had swastikas on their foreheads, would that be enough to convince these people? I don't know, but
why do you think why has all common sense gone out the window? Eva, comment on that, because then I got to get back to Dr. Starlight, another big point here. But why do you think all common sense has gone out the window? When you talk about, when he says the left and Nancy Pelosi and company and all these people that are out there, really, as Dr. Starlight just said, defending them, really defending, like some,
well,
like
they have no argument. The left has no argument. It doesn't make sense. For example, Nancy Pelosi's talking about a spark of divinity. And this is a woman who applauds abortion, okay? It makes no sense. These people are crazy.
Here's what I want to mention to you, Dr. Steinle, to wrap this sort of MS-13 business up here. So the American Civil Liberties Union, in a statement on Monday, came out and said this. There's a reason Trump is doubling down on this rhetoric, they said. He is using the fear of MS-13 to justify policies which hurt all immigrants. What do you say about that?
It's nonsense, and it's the most cynical. It's the kind of cynicism I've sadly come to expect from an organization that a long time ago actually played a positive role in American life. And that, by the way, is one of the things I'm sure we all, you know, we look around at organizations for which we once had respect, and we see that, you know, the ACLU used to not choose its clients based on their political backgrounds or what the cause was. They only defend the left. They only go after the right. This comment about the president is an outrageous comment. And this was, of course, you know, a lie, which they fomented immediately after the comment was made, as though the president were speaking about all immigrants, and of course he wasn't. So this is what I, sadly, what I expect from an organization that is cynical, that is mendacious, that has a left-wing agenda, and whose name, it's, you know, it's a disgrace that they even can carry that name any longer, like the Southern Poverty Law Center, another one of these cynical organizations that, yeah, years ago it did some good work, and lately it just calls everyone with whom it disagrees racist, xenophobic. You know, they're very good on epithets. They're not very good on arguments.
Oh, that's
and
well said.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, that's well said there. Yeah, well, we can't make sense of it, clearly. Well, another news trend and story this afternoon. Wow, talk about this. It's on Twitter. A judge comes out and says that President Trump cannot block any Twitter followers. Now, this is a federal judge in New York City, go figure. But in any event, this was a suit now filed back in mid-2017 by the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University. And there were other plaintiffs as well in this thing. You know, clearly it was a group of people. And of course, the president uses Twitter every day. In fact, so much that he's got like 52.2 million Twitter followers, by the way. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 52.2 million. By golly, could he send a couple of those million over to me, please? You know, I'll take the good ones. I'll take the good ones. Yeah. And he's tweeted more than 37,600 times, guys, just in the last few. I mean, the guy is using Twitter like there's no. I mean, it's his forum. It's his forum. So anyways. This whole Twitter thing here now, so the bottom line on this, Ava, I'm wondering what you think about it, because the judge says that it's designated public forum from which Trump cannot exclude individual plaintiffs, you know, citizens, what have you. What do you think?
Well, if in fact this is the public square, then why are my tweets being thwarted by Twitter? As a conservative, I'm being shadow banned, and everybody knows about it, and Twitter's even informed me of it.
Well, that's a Twitter problem, not the judge. The courts didn't do that, though. Twitter
did. Well, I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would appeal that. I would take Trump's case and appeal that, because I think he has a good chance to win it.
Yeah, I don't think he does. I think the judge was in the judge's rights to do this. Stephen, you have a different opinion? I would disagree with Abra on that. I think the judge could, and I think the judge should do this. I agree with the judge here. What do you think?
I think it's, you know, basically public domain. And
it is.
It seems to me reasonable. That's all.
Yeah, I don't think the president can block Twitter followers. I don't think it's right. I think if you're going to use it as a public forum, I think he's either that or he can't use it, Ava. But you can't use it and then just give it to some of the citizens. That's illegal. That's got to be illegal, Ava. You can't do that. We can't give it to
Well,
people you don't
I've blocked over 12,000 people that are extremely, I mean, extremely malicious and horrible.
Well,
I
trade
mean,
them
I
with
would
the
just be.
president. Tell him you'll take 12,000 of his good ones for 12,000 of your crazy people. They can all
Well,
chime in there.
there's always Gab social media.
Well,
So.
Twitter is having a lot of problems. You know, I know you. I know you don't hold court on there, Dr. Steinlett, as Ava does, but I will say this to you. Twitter is sort of a, it's kind of a coffee shop. It's a central meeting place. And of course, Trump has helped make it that for the country. It's where you can kind of go there and see what's trending in the country, what's happening, what's going on. But I got to tell you, Twitter has been doing a lot of nasty stuff in recent months and years. If you, and I'm sure you know this. Stephen, they've been doing a lot of shadow banning. They've been limiting the amount that conservatives can do, like Facebook, and like you've been
Yes,
following that.
I was going to say. I mean, I do. I just basically closed my Facebook account on
Did
those,
you?
Grounds. But it, you know,
Wow.
it's also, by the way, I mean, it's just a practical thing. We all know it. It's kind of a black hole, unfortunately, for our energies. You know, I mean,
It is.
sometimes you know, it's interesting. It's nice to have a kind of virtual community out there, but it's there's something very enticing about it and also time wasting. So I finally said,
Well,
now
you're
give it up. It's
right.
like an addiction. I've got to break that
Oh,
addiction.
golly, people spend they people get lost on there, Stephen. You're exactly right. You have to know when enough is enough, and know when to come on and off. I know people who do it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert in between, and every other part of the day. I
It's also
mean,
where they have their love lives, as it turns out. I wasn't aware of that. This it's the second match.com or whatever. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think they call that sexting now, right? No? Or something like
I guess I should ask the ex-congressman Wienermeyer, who, by the way, was
Oh, what a disgust.
a former student of mine. I don't know if I ever told you that.
No,
No.
get out
Oh,
of
wow.
here. A student.
Yes,
You, so,
when I taught at the State University of New York when I first
right.
came back from England in my
Right.
graduate school and then teaching there, there in my English 101 class was a sort of skinny, obnoxious young man named Anthony Weiner. And out of the goodness of my heart, I gave him a D minus.
Oh, did you? You funny guy. You a D minus, and that was a good
And
day,
I
huh?
knew that there was a, you know, there was a future there. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was going to be bad.
Yeah, as a B, as a
There was
BS
bad
artist, Stephen.
karma,
Yeah,
you
as a B,
know.
BS artist, and a you know, he is disgusting. All those pictures all over the internet where he's naked and
Oh,
his
Lord.
top of his body. I'm saying I've never looked. I don't even want to see this guy. It's disgusting. He when you look in the d dictionary, actually, he defines the word pervert. You understand? Yeah, he
Yeah, he
defines
even
it.
gives perverts a bad name. You know,
See, there you
how
go
bad
again.
Yeah, he
it is.
does, because the girls he was tweeting those
I
to were
love
15 years old. So,
Absolutely. Thank the Lord for that, you know, because it would have gone
yeah.
on and on and on.
That is so
And
funny.
also, now, not to change the subject, but he might have on his laptop the missing Hillary emails.
They said he did. They
Yeah,
said he
well,
did.
there you
Yeah.
go.
That was fascinating, I have to say. That
Oh,
was
yeah.
fascinating.
Oh.
When Anthony Weiner comes in, you know, on this major national story, and we're back, and then we know where we are, unfortunately. It's yes, it really has come to this. It really has come to
It
this.
has, I know.
To haul up the white flag. But no, we're not going to do that. We're not
No,
going to
we're
do
not
that. We're
going to
going to win
do
it back.
it. We're going to keep fighting,
We're going to
but
double down.
Talking
Yes.
about fighting, Paul Ryan is fighting as well right now. A couple of headlines,
Yeah.
yeah, a couple of headlines I want to share with you all. I want to get your guys' perspective on this because the New York Times, of course, they affectionately love him, of course. Their headline is "Immigration Showdown Puts Ryan's Job in Peril." Okay, and then the Washington Post, their other stepsister in crime, there, of course. Ryan's hold on Speaker's job is tested by GOP infighting. You got to love this stuff. Ryan's grip on House is growing weaker. These headlines are, you just love the way they throw these headlines out there. So here's the thing. So, Dr. Stein, I want to get your perspective on this because I
Sure.
guess they're saying what I'm gathering here now is they're saying June is going to be a tough month for the speaker, given the because the Republican Party, the leadership, has made a decision that the left can't kind of figure out, they're saying, to elevate immigration as an election year issue. And obviously, this has been something we've been wondering when this is coming back on the table because they, like they've done for decades, they keep pushing it aside, which you and I did that incredible show not too long ago, where we, which was, I thought, phenomenal. We jumped into the economic impact and how this thing is really, you know, hurting our quality of life here and hurting the middle class and the poor people more so than anybody else. So now they're speculating that Ryan needs to be removed. And they think because he now has announced his speakership end that that's probably going to happen. So number one, talk to me about this immigration before the midterm quickly. Let's get that in here. And then I want to talk about Ryan a little bit and see what you think, Ava, as well about him, if he makes it or not, because I don't think he's going to make it. I think he's going to leave early. What do you think, Dr. Steinle?
Well, he may leave early, but that will be his choice. I don't agree with the notion that he's going to be pushed out. Both sides, you know, whether it is the quote-unquote moderates, and interestingly, they almost all come from California and Florida, and they're looking to preserve their incumbencies on the back of DACA. And on the other hand, you have, you know, the ones that I cheer for, you know, the conservative caucus. I think that this discharge petition is in the end much ado about nothing. I mean, I think the Times and the Washington Post, as usual, are wrong. They may understand their own people. I don't think they understand Republicans very well. It doesn't serve anybody's purpose to get rid of the speaker. And by the way, the fact is, and I'm you know, kind of angry at Mr. Denham and Carlos Curbelo for bringing this out before the midterm elections. This is an opportunity to divide Republicans in a way which is really not helpful.
Wow.
Considering that the base that elected Trump,
yeah,
elected him strongly on the notion of a tough immigration policy, and they're talking about a no strings. I'm not against DACA, by the way, and I've talked about that, not a no strings DACA, which is what Denham and company are looking for. What I think is going to happen, by the way, there's going to be a lot of fiddling around, both politically and in terms of, you know, the way in which the rules will be shaped and reshaped and all the rest. I think if they're going to do the smart move, they will introduce first. There's a bill by Bob Goodlatte. It's H.R. 4760. That basically mirrors the president's views on immigration. Now, the one area, so they would bring that out first. And by the way, the Denham people, their bill is tied to that. They can't get to it until they get to Goodlatte, which will be up there. Then there's going to be this kind of game, you know, this Queen of the Hill thing. And there'll be Goodlatte's bill, and then this is assuming, by the way, of course, that they get those five extra votes, so they get to 218, which is to say one more than half the House.
Right.
If they get to that, then they're going to put out something like four different bills. Goodlatte's, which is excellent, but can be tweaked. There's the DREAM Act, which is terrible. It has no enforcement trade-offs.
Mm-hmm.
The USA Act, which two of these characters from California, Republicans, are pushing, which isn't quite as bad, but it's not good at all. And then there's a fourth bill, and the speaker would actually come in on that. What I think could happen here is Goodlatte, one thing that he could do, and it wouldn't be a big thing, is Goodlatte's bill says we'll only give DACA recipients or Dreamers, whichever, you know, however you want to characterize that group, a sort of short-term to short-term status. I would say go for an amnesty for them and go for citizenship. That will cover those Republicans, and then we can bring in the other things the president's been talking about: mandatory E-Verify, end extended family unification, cut the numbers down, get rid of the visa lottery, do all those other things. So it seems to me that if they're open, and they're going to be negotiating and bargaining on this, if they're open, mm-hmm, to making, basically using the Goodlatte bill And the Speaker can add some stuff, and Denham can add some stuff. But if they can use the Goodlatte bill, and I think make it just, you know, a little more generous in terms of these folks. And by the way, you know, large majorities of Americans, including Republicans, believe they should be legalized, and most believe they should be on a path to citizenship. So we're not taking,
exactly.
This is not, you know, an obscure or strange position. And, you know, and I know all the arguments can be made about not doing that, but it's, I think for the most part, it's the wise and just thing to do. If we can get all these other things in exchange for that,
exactly.
Then it will
that's
be a good deal.
That's
it will
the
have been
key.
A good deal.
That's the key. That is the key. And that's what the president ran on. And that is where we're at. And you're so right. And we're never going to get it done without compromising on that point anyways. And there is something about what is just and what is not and so on and so forth. But again, what we don't want to do is give citizenship to these brutal murderers and killers and evil people. And you know, the other problem with this gang business, Ava, that we'll talk about in a moment here is, you know, these people cost us money. Because even if we take them off the streets because they're a bad cat like these gang members, we have to put them in prison and pay for them in prison. And our prison population is skyrocketing. And our prison,
a year.
Oh, and we can't afford it. Yeah, we can't afford it. So listen, just we'll pick that up here. More nozzle in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, so on the immigration, you hear Dr. Steinlight put that masterful thoughts and plan out. He knows what he's talking about, Ava. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a good plan. I like the sound of it. I'm a little bit concerned about his enthusiasm for the American public loving DACA. 73% of DACA people are on federal assistance right now. So they're not really what I would call greatly contributing to our economy.
Right.
We're helping them. We're giving money to them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some other issues too with if you say yes to this DACA, then what's to stop a president in the future to wave his magic pen and do the same kind of thing again? See,
well,
I see this as a
if
this
we
is
can
a
get the
bad...
trade-off, Ava, that's what I think it is. You know, if we can get a wall,
it's a trade-off. Yeah.
If we can actually get those other things in place, then I think we will have protected our future. And you're right. You know, two-thirds of them, by the way, you know, for all of the
it's not perfect.
All of the honeyed talk you get in the media are basically, you know, these are not valedictorians and not curing cancer and not helping old ladies across the street. They're mostly at jobs making $15 an hour, which is to say they're just above the poverty line and they're competing with Americans. And you know, I understand all of the concerns that are legitimate to be raised. It just seems to me, if this is the fix we need, I can think of a lot of fixes that are worse.
Well, and because we're never going to get there without it. We're never going to get to the finish line without some sort, which is why Trump threw it out there initially, because that's the deal again. You've got to have a deal here somewhere, right? Does it happen?
It makes me unhappy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, does it happen, though, Stephen? Do we ever get there? I mean, we got a midterm coming up in November. Where does this immigration, I mean, what does your gut say? When does it happen? I mean, if we're going to make a deal, if we are going to come together and have a compromise, when does it happen?
I don't think it's going to happen over the midterm because they're going to have to fight some more. Each group is going to have to fight and it's going to have to win points from its base.
Yeah.
But can you imagine anything worse for the Republican base Trump's core supporters, and I count myself among them, who are basically mm-hmm. immigration hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give up on that, you wave the white flag on that, and if that base is turned off, and, you know, I'm reading articles, and it's making me feel more hopeful that, you know, not only is there not going to be a blue tsunami, it may in fact be nothing much. We may in fact hold the House, not by many seats, but we may in fact hold it. But it seems to me that if we belly up on this, it's a disaster.
It's a very valid point you make, Stephen. Very, very valid point. And Ava, I'm really double, triple thinking here. I agree with Dr. Stanley that I think the fact that the GOP is pushing this right now is a silly move and they're not thinking it through. Because it plays right against, I agree with what he's saying, for the midterm. You need every advantage you can going into this midterm.
Well, I think the fighting, the infighting that's going on in the House right now is the Freedom Caucus. See, what's happening is people, I mean, these politicians are reading the tea leaves really quick here. And they're realizing now that, gee, America likes Trump. Well, we've got to do something here. What can we do? You know, and now they're all like worried for their own butts. But the Freedom Caucus are the heroes, okay? These guys are holding the Republic together here, and I've said this many times.
But, I couldn't agree more.
And I really think they're going to oust Ryan, and I really think they're going to put Jim Jordan in that seat. But, you know, we'll see.
Well, they're starting to talk more and more about Jordan. They're definitely talking about somebody coming from the Freedom Caucus to be in that seat, potentially, but Jordan's name's coming up a lot, and he would probably make a very effective speaker. Very much. He's very, very unique. He's on the front lines of a lot of these investigations and very well spoken. And, you know, that's it. Listen, I like your point, Ava, about the fact of reminding people about the welfare component, which Dr. Steinlight is always, always talking to me about and always, always passionate. First and foremost, about the quality of life, the economic collapse, what's really the real impact of immigration, people, illegal immigration, and really even having a smart legal immigration program. We're talking the whole mm-hmm. package here, quite frankly. But there's a cost for all this, people. And whenever you say the welfare component, there's a welfare component, but you see it's a trade-off now. If we don't get something done, if we don't get this other thing resolved, we're going to have nothing. That's what Dr. Steinlight's saying, right?
I agree with him. I agree with him on that count. But who's the leader to do it? See, that's my. I don't think Ryan is.
No, Trump. Trump and
no,
Biden.
I
mean in the House.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ryan's never been on our side on
never,
this.
Never.
No.
But I don't think he wants to make his last act, passing, being involved in a immigration deal worse even than what Obama did. I just don't think that's what he wants his legacy to be.
There's a difference between a conservative movement and the Freedom Caucus, as you say, Ava, and the Republican Party, which is fully bloated and full of themselves, you know?
Soon to change.
I think something's going to have to give, because the whole thing is being remade. Both of these political parties are being remade one way, shape, form, or another. We don't really know what's going to happen. You take a look at the Democratic Party. I mean, there's hardly nothing left there. I mean, they're so far removed from John F. Kennedy, the day of the Kennedy's party. There's nothing even left that resembles that. It's gone, totally gone, obliterated, right?
It's unbelievable to think that how many candidates are there, I think, in California that are running as Democratic Socialists?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's bizarre.
It's bizarre.
They're literally running on the ticket as Democratic Socialists.
Yeah.
And right now, the people who are being regarded as the front runners in the presidential sweepstakes, you know, you've got a bunch of people who basically are socialists who really don't like America. I mean, I that sounds very heavy, but that's the case. You know, they don't believe in one America. They believe in identity politics. They believe in grievance mongering. It's terrible business. And I think they're going to, by the way, just run the Democratic Party off the hill. I think Republicans are going to look pretty good in 2020.
Here's another little irony, too. The Democratic Party wants to get rid of the Electoral College, but they have superdelegates in their primary.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Talk about a fix. Talk about a fix. It's unbelievable. And they make it sound so proper and legal, Ava, with the way they do it, you know? Super delicate.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a total con job. We knew it was a con job. But that whole DNC and the whole election cycle and everything else was so corrupt, it's not even close to funny there. Well, listen, and our last, while you guys think of your predictions here, let me tell folks as well that, of course, if you didn't know this today, if you like iced coffee, today's a good day to have it. It's hashtag iced coffee day. I like iced coffee. Mm. I like iced coffee. It's good. Today is also hashtag World Turtle Day. So that's saving. You know, I stopped my car the other day, guys. I was with my two children who are, as you know, probably 14 and 15, 14 and 16 now, I got to say. She just had a birthday. And we actually we're doing it, Stephen. We're doing it. And I picked up a turtle from the middle of the road with the traffic. We stopped the whole road. I picked, and the kids wanted me to save the turtle. So I said, okay.
Malcolm,
so,
you are now Saint Malcolm.
Well, Stephen, what I did is I blocked the whole road and I picked up the turtle, and because they were afraid to pick it up. They, you know, it's kind of moving around and stuff,
yeah.
Anyways, and I think he was a conservative turtle, so I felt pretty comfortable with doing it. You understand? I really
How
did.
Can you not love turtles? Really?
Exactly.
He probably looked. Did he look like Mitch McConnell?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know. I hear you, love. I hear you. But I put him on the side of the road and put him down into the pond, and he was a happy boy. But anyways, hashtag Wednesday Wisdom, friends. A couple of tweets here I want to share with you real quickly here before we do predictions. Lewis says Obama will be producing shows on Netflix. I guess he'll be winning the underdeserved Emmys the same way he won the Nobel Peace Prize. I don't think Lewis is a fan of him. Feisty in Florida says how inconvenient for Nancy Pelosi that an MS-13 member known as Animal stabbed a 15-year-old death to get initiated into a gang that Nancy prefers to refer to as the Spark of Divinity. I couldn't make this up even if I tried. He says, Dashan says the longer Congress allows Trump to remain in office, the greater is the damage he does to our democratic norms and institutions and to our foreign relations. Obviously not a Trump fan. Marilyn says, as I searched the massive assortment of aerosol hairspray, I wondered, whatever happened to that hole in the ozone, and why doesn't anyone talk about it anymore? Guess we can stop feeling guilty about aerosol hairspray, thank God. Well, that's good. She's having a good day. And the last one, friends, I have for you, Laura says, the witch hunt seems to be catching a hell of a lot of witches these days. I love that one. That's my favorite.
But you have to believe in witches.
You got to believe in witches, yeah. Well, listen, let's get to predictions real quickly before we're out of time. Dr. Steinlake, please, what is your prediction for the day, sir?
About bills in Congress on immigration, settling anything, it's nonsense. This is going to drag on for a while yet.
That's true. I mean, that's a prediction that'll probably happen, I would think. So not too far removed from reality. Ava, what's your prediction for the day, though?
I am predicting that Kim Jong-un will, and I emphasize the word will, meet with Donald Trump, and it will be on June 12th.
Yeah, his options are limited, for sure. And
Do you think he's going to go to a bespoke tailor first, or...?
Oh no! He's wearing Hillary's old pantsuit.
He wears Hillary Clinton's pantsuits.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. It's a good fit. He got her wardrobe when she went out of business, Stephen. You know. Well, listen, friends. My last two predictions are: Dianne Feinstein, 84 years old, she is going to seek a fifth full term. And she'll make it as well because they just love her out in California in the Bay Area. And she is gone so much far to the left now that, again, as Dr. Steinle was saying moments ago, the party's becoming the Socialist Party. We just need to change the name. My other prediction, friends, is I'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nazalov.